killers, murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, 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 and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. I am Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory.
Today we are doing El Chapo. If you don't know who that is, he was a powerful drug trafficking... I don't know what to call him. He ran a powerful drug trafficking organization, yeah. He put it like that, and he was a Mexican drug lord. And he was the head of... Now, I can't speak Spanish. I nearly said I can't speak Mexican like a chop. I can't speak Spanish.
Yeah, she can't speak
that,
Mexican.
That really been really embarrassing. It's yeah. Like when people say they can't speak American, but it's okay. Sinaloa? You know what? You give this a try, because I feel like you would be better at it than me.
Of course.
Ah, the rudeness.
What do you mean, the rudeness?
The rudeness. It's fine. It's okay.
Well, I was just messing around.
Yeah.
But I think it's Sinaloa Cartel. Is that a name?
Yes. Yeah, it's a cartel name.
Sinaloa Cartel.
Yeah, now he wants to put the fancy accent on to prove
it's not. It's not a fancy accent. I just have this thing. I have this thing. If I'm saying something in another language, I do the accents because it has to sound like what the language
That's
would sound
what he
like.
Says.
It's just the way it is, okay?
So why don't you speak English with a British accent then? Because surely British
but
is British.
But I'm not British English. I'm South African English.
No, English is English.
All right, then. I'll speak like this the whole show. The entire show.
You'll irritate me. No.
Exactly.
So, he was born Joaquin Guzman Loria. Guzman? I think it's Guzman.
I think it's Guzman.
G-U-Z-M-A-N.
Yes, remember it's Spanish.
Okay, Guzman. That sounds like Guzman. No, I'm kidding. Guzman. And he was born in rural Mexican town called... Again, the Spanish is not the one. But Badiragato. Yeah, that's my butchering of Spanish. It's okay, guys. We all have our flaws, minus languages. The date of his birth is believed to be April 4th. How can we believe? Maybe he didn't have a birth certificate. Wow. In 1956. What's a... If he was born in a rural town, maybe his mom just popped him out there in the living room and didn't go to the doctor.
Look, fair enough. Fair Although enough. I'm... Even in South African society, people in rural
areas
have...
Yeah, but this is the 50s.
Okay, yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, how did they keep track of people? Like in the 1700s?
They had books.
Oh, that must be so much admin. But...
Look, I think their system would have been simpler.
Well, it actually says here that some believe it's April 1957 and other people believe it's December 1954. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, whatever...
Whenever. He was born on a day. Yeah, okay, it's on fine. Some that's not the point of the story. Guzman's childhood was shaped by his family's poverty and his abusive father, who was a violent man who was in the drug trade. So the apple didn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
By his teens, Guzman had been kicked out of the family home and was forced to make his own way. With a little schooling in his background, he eventually found himself... Following his father's path, growing marijuana for small amounts of cash. So, ready from a young age.
Yeah.
By the late 1970s, Guzman had proven his value in the narcotics business and began working with another rising young dealer named Hector Luis Palma Salazar. Guzman oversaw the movement of drugs from his home district in Sinaloa, a crucial drug trafficking area on the western end of Mexico, where narcotics flowed north to coastal cities and into the United States. By his late 20s, the quiet but savvy Guzman was supervising logistics for another drug kingpin named Miguel Angel Felix Galarado. Okay. We're not going to even go there with the pronunciation. And he was for... Oh, no, it gets worse. No, you're going to say this because I refuse to butcher this because I don't even know where to start.
Guadalajara cartel.
Okay, there you go. Right, so this Miguel was the founder of this cartel, and Guzman kept a low profile. But when his boss was eventually arrested in 1985 for the murder of an American Drug Enforcement Administration agent, he quickly emerged as one of the new faces of the Mexican drug world. So, inheriting some of his former boss's territory, Guzman founded his own cartel known as Sinaloa. In 1989, by the early 1990s, Guzman was on the radar of the DEA and the FBI and was considered one of Mexico's most powerful and dangerous drug traffickers. As the power of the Colombian drug cartels like Medellin and Cali began to wane, Sinaloa, you see, now all these Spanish names are just making me tongue-tied, but it's okay, was among the Mexican organizations filling the void. So as basically the Colombian cartels were dying down, Mexico was like, oh, okay, time for us to shine. Under Guzman's direction, it took control of the cocaine trade extending from South America to the United States. Part of the success stemmed from the cartel's creative smuggling methods, most notably a series of air-conditioned tunnels that ran under the Mexican-US border.
Hmm.
How did no one know they were digging tunnels? Actually, air-conditioned tunnels, matter of fact, okay? Like, how did no one notice this was happening, like, right under their noses?
Yeah.
Do you feel me?
Yeah, I'm just trying to... Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but okay.
It's always been weird. I mean, okay, the only time I've crossed borders, like, from country to country, is in Europe, and they don't have borders. So you literally could be driving, and you wouldn't even know you've entered a different country.
A different country, that's crazy.
The only way we knew we had entered a different country is because our phone networks were checked. But yeah, Europe, but I've always, I don't know, in my head, and this is going to sound so, so bad of me. If I had to, like, drive up to the South African border, I don't know, to, like, Botswana, I just picture this, like, ruggedy old fence, like a little god standing there.
Wow.
That's so bad of me. I don't even know what our border looks like. Do we have fences? Do we have proper fences? What?
I think we used to have fences.
Okay, I'm going to Google
I don't know.
This.
They might have tore them down, or maybe they saw they're just not as effective as they need to be.
Well, yeah, well, we have a lot of people coming inside of.
Yeah, I think we have the similar situation with.
Like America.
Where people can't see people coming in.
Yeah, I don't understand. I it's just kind of like.
And by the way, I was being sarcastic about them not being able to see.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
South means Africa. They intentionally
borders.
Can't see.
Oh, yeah. They've taken some money. No, I want to see see. This is what I've been picturing in my head, but yeah. A more delicted one. Anyway. So another method involved hiding cocaine powder in fire extinguishers. That's not a bad idea. No one's going to open that. And cans that were labeled chili peppers. In addition to cocaine, they trafficked heroin, marijuana, and methamphetamine into the United States and beyond. Eventually, the cartel's tentacles touched five continents. That's a lot.
Yeah.
There's only seven. That's a lot. It's probably he didn't get to Antarctica. What other one? Okay, obviously North America, obviously South America, Africa, maybe not Australia.
Yeah,
because I feel like if you can get into Europe, you can get to Asia and Africa. Okay, so maybe Australia.
Well, they definitely got into Asia.
Maybe Australia and obviously Antarctica, because who's there to buy drugs? No one.
So. Yeah.
He became the biggest drug operation in the world. Okay. Guzman then coupled that success with serious muscles. He established gangs with the names such as Los Chachos, Los Texas, Los Lobos, and Los... I don't know if I'm allowed to say this word.
What do you mean?
I don't know if it's the word I'm thinking or if it's not the word I'm thinking.
Los Negros.
I didn't want to get in trouble.
Wow.
Yeah, I was not doing that.
Yeah, maybe not.
No, I'm protecting myself here. These gangs protected his empire. And over the years, Guzman's men have been accused of committing more than 1,000 murders throughout Mexico. Yo. The casualties including both incompetent henchmen and rival bossmen. Bosses, henchmen, bossmen. What was that? In 1993, Guatemalan authorities arrested Guzman and extradited him to Mexico, where he was convicted and sentenced to a maximum security prison for 20 years.
Yeah.
Even behind bars, however, Guzman maintained his power. Through bribes, he arranged for conjugal visits and was largely allowed to run his drug operation. Do you know what conjugal visits are? So that's when a prisoner is married and then they're allowed to like see their wife. Okay, if it's a guy, you'd see his wife in like a room to do things.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically like it's a room with like a bed.
Why do they allow this?
I don't know the reason behind.
Because technically you're in prison, so part of prison is that you're punished.
I don't know. I think they're probably quite rare.
You said it's called what?
Conjugal.
Conjugal visits.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, your wife comes and, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So lots. With his near mythical lore already established in Mexico, many villagers in his home district saw Guzman as a Robin Hood-like figure. Okay, so painting himself as the good guy. His legend grew in 2001 when, with the help of a bribed prison guard, he escaped prison via a laundry cart. A federal investigation led to the arrest of 71 prison employees, including the warden. That's mental. I mean, imagine you are in prison, but 71 people are under your control. That's crazy. Now, on the lam, but not out of the drug business, Guzman only tightened his control and expanded his fortunes over the next decade and a half. In 2009, his cartel was reportedly pulling in $3 billion annually, putting his net worth at $1 billion. That earned him number 701 ranking on the Forbes list of the richest people in the world. Guzman quickly became the number one drug target of the U.S. government, which offered a $5 million reward for information that would lead to his arrest. And in 2012, the U.S. authorities froze the American assets of his family members. An aggressive assault on drug cartels started by the Mexican government in 2006 failed to uncover Guzman, who moved free around his country. He even got married during this time period, celebrating the event with a large party that included police officers and local politicians among the guests. When you have money, you have power. In February 2014, Guzman was finally apprehended in a hotel in the Pacific Beach town of Mazatlan, Mexico. Declining requests by American officials to have Guzman extradited to the United States, Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto, we'll go with that, vowed that Guzman would not escape again. Yet, less than 18 months later, Guzman orchestrated a second daring flight from prison in July 2015. From this escape, Guzman slipped through the opening, of his cell's shower section, made his way down a 30-foot ladder, and then traveled through a tunnel network that connected his cell to a house that was still under construction about a mile away. How did he slip through the bars? How? I don't understand.
People are creative. When you have a desire to get out, you get out.
That, of course, is true. On October 17, 2015, Guzman was reportedly injured on his face and leg when escaping a failed military manhunt to capture him in the mountains of northwest Mexico. Around the same time, unbeknownst to the rest of the world, he conducted a secret interview with American actor Sean Penn. Guzman wanted to make a movie about his life and managed to connect to Penn via Mexican actress Kate Del Cast- Castillo. On January 8th, 2016, the president announced on Twitter that Mexican authorities had recaptured Guzman after a shootout earlier that morning in the city of Los Mochis, which Annie wrote, and I quote, "Mission accomplished, we have him." That's what the president put on Twitter. The drug lord's apprehension came one day before his interview with Penn was published on Rolling Stone's website. It was unclear whether his communication with the actor contributed to his capture, although Mexican authorities cited the monitoring of his electronic exchanges as helpful to the process. Guzman was returned to the same prison from which he had escaped the previous summer. He was later moved to a facility near the U.S. border in Juarez, Mexico. In 2016, October, the judge presiding over Guzman's case was murdered near his home. Oh my word, it just gets worse and worse. In January 2017, the Mexican government extradited Guzman to the United States to face drug trafficking and other charges. The following day, Guzman apprehended in the U.S. federal court in Brooklyn, New York, and pleaded not. The following day, Guzman appeared in the U.S. federal court in Brooklyn, New York, and pleaded not guilty to over a dozen charges. In May 2018, one of Guzman's lawyers asked the judge to move the trial from Brooklyn to the federal courthouse in Lower Manhattan, which is directly connected to the high-security facility where the defendant was being held. However, this request was denied. The trial began amid heavy security in Brooklyn's federal district court on November 13, 2018. His lawyer immediately raised eyebrows with the claim that the actual leader of the cartel was a man named Ismael Almeo Zambada, who had paid the entire government to look the other way. In January 2019, the defense team produced a witness which testified that former president of Mexico had accepted a bribe from El Chapo. Another witness testified that the drug lord's wife, Emma Coronel Aspirio, was heavily involved in planning his 2015 escape from prison. On February 12, 2019, following more than 200 hours of testimony from 56 witnesses, El Chapo was found guilty on all 10 accounts against him, including engaging in the continuing criminal enterprise, conspiracy to launder narcotics proceeds, and use of firearms. And on July 17, 2019, he was sentenced to life in prison plus 30 years, along with ordering him to pay $12.6 billion in restitution. Wow. Okay, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, especially now that when you're sitting in prison, can't do anything about it. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I preferred Pablo Escobar.
Why?
Because he had people catching drugs in jet skis. Yeah.
Yeah.
He owned an island with a zoo. I feel like this guy lacked like a little bit of pizzazz, if you get what I'm saying.
Wow.
What? It's true. I mean, like, okay, people do know El Chapo, but he's like, maybe it's because he's newish. I don't know if that makes sense. I mean, he's only arrested now in 2019. That's very recent.
Yeah.
Maybe Pablo Escobar and stuff like that are more known because it's more in the past.
Yeah.
Because I do have heard of El Chapo before, but like not to the extent of Pablo Escobar, Al Capone type of vibes, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just didn't. I mean, the escape attempts were cool. I mean, it takes a lot to escape prison, and doing it twice, go you. Go you, okay? But like, I don't know. It lacked drama for me.
Fair, yeah, I get you.
You get what I'm saying? Although, no. Also, the underground tunnels were cool, but I prefer jet skis. That's more James Bond. I'm looking for James Bond. I'm kidding. That's such a bad thing for me to say. Yeah, I don't know. You know when you just feel like when you eat a meal and you're like still hungry?
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is...
I'm not satisfied with this.
Yeah, what you're saying is that you want criminals who will steal money and then use that stolen money to escape.
No, I want criminals with pizzazz. I want criminals who are like smart and like I don't know, come out of a Sherlock Holmes novel.
Wow.
Maybe it's because I'm busy watching Sherlock Holmes. It's my obsession at current point in time. Well, it's always been an obsession, but I'm back there.
Yeah.
Comes around every now and then. But I don't know, like pizzazz, like these mastermind criminals that are just like... I mean, like Pablo Escobar. I think with Pablo Escobar as well, it was his like death that made him also so famous. That like rooftop chase where he was gunned down. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like I could eat more and there's nothing left on my plate.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. If you understand my heart, you'll understand my words. Because I feel like I sound like a crazy person. But it's fine. That's Al Chapo for you. I'm assuming he's still sitting in prison.
Yeah.
Let me Google that for you quickly. I don't think he's dead.
If he's not dead.
If he was only put in prison now... That's not what I expected him to look like. What? Did you expect that? No, that looks like Bob from down the road.
Wow.
No, okay, now I'm even less satisfied with this. He's 67, he's still alive. No. You know his name Al Chapo means shorty because he's only 5'6".
Wow, for real?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm 2 inches shorter than him. Oh, it says he has at least 4 spouses.
Interesting.
And 15 kids. Yo, my guy was enjoying those conjugal visits a little bit too much. Just saying. Well, that is all for this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. We hope you enjoyed Al Chapo. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. We'll see you next time.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.